Hey y'all, and welcome back to Uplift Fit Nutrition Radio. I'm your host, Lacey Dunn, future registered dietitian, here to spread the scientific knowledge in the world of fitness and nutrition. I want to thank you so much for joining in with me today. Get ready to learn, get excited, and let's get moving. Okay, guys, so today is a nutrition Q&A, a listener Q&A. I posted a Instagram caption and I asked you guys to send me your questions regarding nutrition, fat loss, fitness, whatever. So today in this episode, I am answering your questions. I have not seen these questions before. Bella, she literally she's being as fast. So I just pulled these questions up. I have not seen them. So if I ramble at all, it's because I'm just running through these questions. Okay, first question from Court Trap. What would be a healthy caloric deficit to recommend? So a caloric deficit is what you need in order to lose weight. And this is less calories than you need in order to maintain your weight, obviously. So a caloric deficit can be either through food, cardio / workouts, or both. I typically suggest a mixture of both. So a good caloric deficit would be around 100 to 500 calories. And you can do this through food, cardio. I typically suggest starting with 100 calories and then bumping up from there because you don't want to go too fast. Slow and steady wins the race. It's all about sustainability. So the next question is Tiff Marie 83. I've done so much research online and everything says something different. How would one go about finding what macros they need to get results? So the struggle with online calculators is because they are online calculators. They do not take into account your body, your muscle mass, your diet history, your genetics. So if you use a calculator, regardless of the calculator, it's going to be off. And just like we do in clinical dietetics, we go based off of either a weight-based equation or the Mifflin-St. George equation. And it's always a guesstimation. No calculator is going to be specific and perfect. And even starting with a coach, they are never going to be perfect. So it's always, 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 always trial and error. So what I suggest people do if you're going to figure out your macros by yourself is start with the Mifflin-St. George equation. You're going to take this equation and it's going to give you your BMR. Then you're going to multiply that level by an activity factor, and that's going to be either 1.2 for sedentary individuals or up to 1.5 for active individuals. So say you go and you do the Mifflin-St. George and you get your BMR from that equation as being, let's say, 1500. And then if you are relatively active, I like to say either do 1.3 or 1.35 or 1.4 for the activity factor. So 1500 calories, actually not 1500, that's quite a high BMR. So let's say 1250 BMR times 1.3 equals 1625 calories. So that would be what you need in order to maintain your weight minus, let's say, 150. That's a good basic caloric deficit. That would be 1475 calories. However, make note, I never start that low for clients. I always start high because that is just a calculator. If you start low, you're going to get low. If you start high, you can always cut back. So I have had, I've worked with a lot of clients, like hundreds of clients by now. So I have a good general idea. I don't ever do calculations. I kind of know what people need just by kind of looking at them and seeing their history. But that is my general recommendation for starting out. Generally, a woman, she should start around 1600 to 1700 calories. This is very general, so it's not going to work for everybody. It is extremely general, but try it out, then go from there. So that would be calories. And then in order to find your macros from there, what you're going to do is if your goal is weight loss or weight, let's say weight loss, then you want to keep your protein around 1.5 to 2.5 grams per kilogram of body weight. And then if your goal is gaining muscle, you want to keep it around 1.5 grams per kilogram of body weight. And that's because you want increased protein with weight loss to help preserve lean muscle mass. And also help with satiety. And then you can take your fats and do either 25 to 35% of your daily calories, and then you can do the rest being carbohydrates. So just to kind of give you a little math lesson, because I know some people ask me, and I'm like, I'm not a math teacher, but I do understand that it can be kind of confusing for some. So say you have that 16:25 and you already got your protein macros. Let's say you calculated that as 120 grams of protein daily. Then you're going to take 16:25 times, let's say 0.3 for 30% of fat, and that's going to give you 487.5. You're going to divide that by 9 because there's 9 calories per gram of fat. That equals 54 grams of fat. So then to find carbs, you have 54 grams of fat times 9 equals 486 calories, 120 grams of protein, so 120 times 4 equals 480, and then you're going to do the 16:25 minus 486 minus 480, that equals 659. That's the calories from carbohydrates. Then you're dividing 659 by 4 because there's 4 calories per gram of carb, and you're going to get 165 grams of carbohydrates. If I lost you, just go back and repeat that. Or if you need a video, I can ultimately do a live feed on Instagram to help kind of show you how to do that. Okay. Must Love Dog Zero asked, what are your thoughts on one day of someone not tracking food but eating the same as previous 6 days? She mentions that for tracking, she gets a bad mental state and starts to beat herself up. So I definitely think if tracking is hard for you, 100% take days off. Take those on track days. Take those on track meals. That is necessary. I do that. If I start getting bugged out on macros, I will just track. I will just not track and just eat. And some days I will just not even go off of macros. I will just go and have the meals I'm used to eating. And if I feel like having more fats, I'll have more fats. So you definitely have to make sure that you do what's best for you. And if you need those untracked days, you take them. Alrighty. So next we have a question. The Peckish Wolf asks, speaking of the gray, what's your thoughts on doing an occasional 1 to 3 day fast? I've just rubbed up my metabolism to maintain my body. Was thinking it might be nice to empty out the system for 1 to 3 days. Thoughts on full days versus just IF? Okay, so there's actually a lot of good research on fasting. Ramadan fasting is well known, so that is for a religious purpose. So with fasting, there's a lot of theories to there being benefits for reducing oxidation, increasing your lifespan, reducing inflammation. So fasting, I think if you're going to do a fast, have a reason, have it like speak with a medical professional and do the fast maybe once a year. I don't believe in doing a 3 day fast. I think a 1 day fast is okay. You can do that if you're doing that for a specific purpose and you've seen a health professional. But don't do a 3 day fast, please. Full days fasting versus IF. These are two different things. So it's kind of hard to, I don't know what you're specifically looking at and what we're going to be comparing. I think because IF isn't like a diet. IF is a lifestyle of eating. And then fasting isn't a diet or lifestyle of eating. Fasting is just something that people do for religious purposes, as well as some people do because of physiological benefits and lifespan benefits. Really hard to compare these things. So I'm sorry if I just rambled and didn't really answer that question, but there you go. Here we go. Next question. How can I eat intuitively but count calories? Help. All right, Melissa 389. Eating intuitively is not counting calories. If you're going to eat intuitively, that is truly eating intuitively. So not tracking your food, not tracking your macros. It's feeling hunger and listening to what your body wants in that moment. So unfortunately, if you want to eat intuitively, you can't count calories. Moving on. So Ashley Townsend Fit asked, what are signs of hormonal issues to look out for? So there's a variety of things you can look for, hair loss, dry skin, acne, severe bloating and digestive issues, your periods not being on point, having bad PMS, night sweating and sweating really bad in general, not being able to sleep. So there's a lot of factors there. Also, something you want to look out for is any potential extreme fatigue, any brain fog, or specifically anything in regards to anxiety, depression. So I like to say all females, all males, everybody, go get blood work done once a year, okay? Catherine Spears said, what do you do when you've been in a deficit for too long and are in somewhat of a plateau? So this depends on why you're plateauing. Maybe you aren't tracking correctly. Maybe you're not really in a deficit. Or maybe your body is just not responding because you've been in a deficit too long and you need either a refeed, you need a diet break. Maybe you're just doing too much and you need to reduce your inflammation by taking a deload. Or maybe you just need to be in a deeper deficit. So it really depends on why you're plateauing. So my first suggestion is if you're at a plateau, dig a little. And then if you still cannot see progress, take either a diet break or take a refeed. Always do a two-day refeed, I suggest. If you still don't see progress, then maybe you need to start reverse dieting and get your calories up. So I got a question about eating intuitively and wanting to lose fat. So my biggest suggestion there, of course, listen to your body, listen to your hunger levels, but also know that really anybody is hungry 99.9% of the time. So the biggest thing is kind of have a general idea to how you're going to eat throughout the week. You don't have to eat the same thing every single day, but have a general idea to the portion control of what you're eating. And then if you're not losing weight, maybe cut back a snack. Maybe cut a little bit of carbohydrates, or maybe cut a little avocado or peanut butter that you eat normally. So, or you can add in a little bit of cardio that you normally don't do. Of course, eating intuitively is going to be a little bit harder than if you were counting your calories, counting your macros. But don't give up. Just listen to your body, take it slow, and make minor adjustments. And don't get frustrated because it's going to be hard, but you can do it. So Richie Austin asked, what about stalemating and hitting mental barriers? Some of us have an issue on the nutrition side when the mental fatigue becomes an issue. I, for instance, have a highly demanding job mentally and cannot afford to be off my game at work. So, Richie Austin, priorities. That's what I had commented originally. I wanted to address this because I know it's hard. I know it is hard when you're at the office and they bring in donuts or cake, or they say, hey, or take this piece of chocolate, or say that you've been so set and you've worked really hard all day and all you can do is quickly grab something like a snack or a quick meal. So you go maybe to downstairs and you go to the vending machine, or you go get fast food because you don't have time to meal prep. So this is where it really becomes about priorities, and you really have to make a change and you have to make healthy habits. So the biggest thing that you can do is meal prep. And I know that's hard, but take a Sunday and either go out and buy something that's easy to meal prep, like frozen vegetables and frozen chicken, and stick the chicken either in a crock pot, or you can even do what I do, and I will just make what I need the day before. It literally takes me 10 minutes. I just stir fry my vegetables, my meats, or my egg whites, whatever I'm doing, make that happen. You could do microwavables for vegetables. For chicken, they even make microwavable chicken these days. So it's really about priorities and then having healthy options. So always with your snacks, you can have popcorn, rice cakes, fruit nut bars, nuts, Greek yogurt with fruit. So there's a lot of options, but you just have to make sure that they are there. And that is actually going to help you even more with work, because you really have to make sure you're fueling your brain to be able to work your best. So I hope that helped a little bit. Moving on to D. Bolt's question, is consumption of glucose necessary immediately following a hard workout, or rather, do we really deplete our glycogen stores to the point of needing to address it? Love this question. Okay, so post-workout, if you are just weight training, you are not depleting your glycogen stores. you probably have 70%, 60 to 70% of your glycogen stores still in your muscle. So no, you do not need glucose immediately post-workout. Say you're a marathon trainer or you did more long, steady state cardio. Yes, you would need carbohydrates to refill those stores. Now, this is also, I need to mention this because if you do two-a-day trainings, not that I don't think anybody should do two-a-day trainings, but if you do, carbs would be important to replenish post-workout. But if you're just training once a day, the consumption of glucose, of carbohydrates right after you work out is not essential. I do think that in regards to insulin sensitivity, so after your workout, you are extremely insulin sensitive. So if you have a good amount of insulin resistance, or if you just want to maximize your insulin sensitivity, getting your carbohydrates in post-workout can be beneficial for that. That way you know that they're more likely to go to your muscles versus potentially be stored as fat. However, your glycogen stores are not depleted and you don't need to immediately get glucose in. If you have not listened to my episode with John Meadows, aka the Mountain Dog, please make sure you go back, you listen to that because there's a wealth of knowledge in there in regards to meal timing. Zero the Nameless Art Zero asked, have you talked about carb cycling in the past? Do people new to fitness, let's say on and off for a year, need to be concerned with how they eat or any of the tricks athletes use for gains? Would it do more harm than good? So carb cycling is all about what works best for the individual. Some people, they do better with carb cycling just because it pushes them through the day. It helps them psychologically. Some people carb cycle to where it's sort of like a refeed, so it helps them out in regards to leptin levels. Some people, in regards to carb cycling, it does not work because it just creates dips and highs in energy. Carb cycling is not more beneficial than a linear approach necessarily. There's really no research whatsoever on that either. So it's all about what works for that person. If somebody wants to carb cycle and it's easier for them to do and it makes them motivated, then they should carb cycle. However, if it makes things harder, then they should definitely stick to a linear approach. I, for the most part, like to have people on a linear approach because it allows consistency and the body loves consistency. So that is all the questions that I got for this episode. I do want to make one point. If you are potentially at a plateau or just for any specific weight loss, weight maintenance, weight gain in general, just to have control, I like to suggest people don't go crazy and have different foods all throughout the week all the time. So the reason I say this is because the FDA with the food labels are allowed to have up to 25% off for calories. So say one day you want to try and make a meal. Let's say that it is around 250 calories times 0.25. That equals 62.5 calories that it could be over or under. If you have a bunch of processed foods, and this changes throughout the week a lot based on different foods that you're eating, this can easily add up or round down to different caloric amounts. And then this can potentially be maybe why you're not reaching your goal. So that's why I suggest always have somewhat of a consistency, have specific meals. So maybe have the same two meals every single day throughout the week, and then your other meals can be different or your other snacks can be different. But just allow some consistency there. I'm kind of OCD. I thrive on consistency. I have to force myself out of consistency. So I know it can be quite daunting for some people to even fathom sticking to the same meals, but it can be super beneficial because then you know exactly what's going into your body and you know that there's not any variations in the calories or the macros. Woohoo! We made it! Almost to 20 minutes. Okay, thank you guys so much for listening. If you liked this episode, please leave me a review, comment, tell me what else you want to learn about. I'll hopefully get a new episode up soon. Thank you guys so much for listening and I hope you have a fabulous rest of your day or night. Wherever you are in the world, I will see you guys later. Thank you.